We're going to start some things real brief. You go back over to Psalms 145. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. We do very little of that. You know that? We really do. We talk a lot about him, but we don't really magnify him. The attention's not on him. The attention is on the stuff he does a lot of times, but it's all for us or what he did for somebody else. And, you know, I've got to praise. Most of those praises are really not as much praises as they are a sense of gratitude. You're expressing your thankfulness for what the Lord has done. But anyway, it says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Isn't that sad we let days go by without praising his name? And we do. I don't even think about it all day long. And that's the day that he hath made, and his mercies were new every morning. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wonderful works. What are his wonderful works? Without him was nothing made that was made. So you can talk about a bunch of things about him, but some of the things that are his mighty works are the things that he made. One of the little critters that he made is a bombarder beetle. Now, that's pretty interesting. This little thing is a half inch long. And this little guy has got a most unique defense system of all the creatures. There isn't anything else like him on the whole earth. There's no chain of evolution to get up to him. There's nothing else that took that to the next phase, you know. He's totally all alone, all by himself, unique in all the world. He's got a defense system that's a combination of a bomb, a flamethrower, and a machine gun. And he's a half inch long. This is one bad dude. I mean, if you were another critter running around by him, you'd realize how bad he really is. Inside that little tiny bug, God built two little factories in there. And when you say factories, you remember Chemstrand before it became Monsanto? Before it became Solutia. And then cyanamide becomes Sterling Fibers. Those places, they specialized in making one little thing, and it was a chemical thread, you know, the polyester stuff and things like that. And they build those big old factories just to make one thing. Inside of this bug that is like any other bug, and it's got a transportation system and a circulation system and some kind of a brain, and it's got eyes and it's got feelings evidently on some level, God put two unique little factories in there, and they're chemical plants. And what happens is he's got these two little areas, and when these two chemicals come together, they explode. They actually create heat. Pow! They explode. And he's got a jet nozzle system on his tail end that he's in full control of. This guy can take that thing and point it in all kinds of directions, sideways, up, down. He can even shoot forward from his back. He shoots it clear underneath his legs and right out in front of him. He's got total control of it. You know what that means, don't you? That means that rascal's got a brain inside of there that says, I got to aim over here. I've got to aim over there. I got to aim up there. Half inch long. He's not only got all that, he's got the ability to reproduce himself. He can fire well. He's got total control. He can control the intensity, and he can blow away a much larger bug than himself without blowing himself away. He doesn't have to worry about casualties of friendly fire. How come? Because God taught him from the beginning how to identify a friend or foe. We can't even do that. We end up killing our own people left and right. This rascal is never going to attack one of his own kind. He's never going to attack something that's friendly to him. You know, he may warn something with a little tiny pop, you know, hey, back off, I'm uncomfortable here. But if he really goes after something, he goes after it with a vengeance. Now, how does he keep from exploding himself? These two things come together, those two chemicals, they create superheat. They're not just an explosion. It's not like just they come together and they go, whew, like that. He's actually got a little tiny chamber they come together in, just like the chamber in a jet engine when they mix the fuels and here's the burner can. He's got like a little burner can inside of him. How does he keep from burning himself up? Well, it's got like an asbestos lining in it. Ain't evolution marvelous? The point behind this stuff is that that is not possible to have evolved. It cannot evolve. But the argument is not, now we can prove that evolution's phony with this beetle. No, this is about his wondrous works. Why'd God do something like this? He did something so we could talk about it. He not only enjoyed it, he wants us to talk about some of the stuff that he's made. How does he keep from blowing himself away? Well, he's got this little chamber. And here comes this blast. And if you're near it, you hear this pop sound. Pow! Blow these spiders away and other stuff that get near him. Literally blow them away. I mean, some of them he blows away and some of them, you know, he cook them. How does he do that without launching himself? I mean, this thing would be like a guy holding a tank's cannon and firing it. How does he keep from blowing himself away with a recoil? Well, they got studying this little bug, and they got to realizing that he's not going, pow. What he's doing is going, real fast, like a machine gun. And each one of those little bursts is weak enough that he can dig into whatever he's got a hold of and hang on without launching himself. But with a whole bunch of those blasts, it's like taking a full automatic BB gun. Man, you can start eating steel with it. You start firing those things fast enough and hard enough, and you won't feel hardly any recoil at all because each one of them is so light going out of there. Now, where'd he come from? The one that made us made him. We'll cover one of these things like every week because there's a ton of really neat stuff out there that God's made, and you have no idea what it's about. And what's happened, especially in the Laodicean church age, is the scientists have changed the truth of God into a lie. What is that? The lie of evolution. And they've worshipped and served the creature more than the creator who's blessed forever. Amen. And God says, you guys, one of these days I'm going to get even with you. Without him was nothing made that was made. Even the day, this is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's what he made it for. You understand that? He didn't make it for you to be miserable. He made it so that you'd rejoice and be glad in it. Anyway, last week, we talked about something before we started the lesson. Anybody remember what it was? Bommy the Bombarder Beetle.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I was thinking something.
He was thinking something spiritual. Oh, when we first began. Now, this little guy is only a half inch long, and he actually has two chemical factories that produce an explosion. I remember that now. Well, we're going to talk about another one today. Psalms 145, 3 and 4 says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. And that has been left out of the Laodicean church age. We don't talk about God. We don't have any clue who he is or what he does. It's all about us, and it is. It's either serving him or working for him or start doing things that I should be doing or quit doing things that I shouldn't be doing. And if you don't do it, God's going to get you. He's going to take your tithe and offerings out of you, whether he gets it in the plate or he gets it at the hospital. I never forget Jack Hiles telling that story about one of his members. You know, they got up there in the hospital. He's visiting her. They had done gallbladder operation on her. And she says, well, Dr. Hiles, what do you think of these gallstones? She holds them up in a little glass jar. He picks them up, looks at them, shakes them, looked at them, and lies. Those don't look like gallstones to me. Well, what do you mean? She said, they took them out of my gallbladder. Well, they don't look like gallstones to me. Well, you seen gallstones before? Oh, yeah, I've seen plenty, but I don't look like gallstones. Well, what is it? Looks like tithes and offerings to me. I can't imagine even telling one of your members something like that. But anyway, getting back into this, God is greatly to be praised. He really is. Now, let me ask you, have you ever stood up and get lightheaded? You ever lean way over and had the blood rush to your head and boom, 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 feel like your head's going to explode? Yeah, me too. You know what causes that? Got any idea? It's like dragging a garden hose. You fill that thing with water and you start dragging it, and all of a sudden the water's squirting out the other end. Right? Or if you lift it up one end, it pours out the other end. Now, the one action is gravity, pouring out the other end. But when that thing's laying on the ground and you start dragging it, that's a totally different effect. It's called inertia. It's the law of motion. And it simply states that any object that is stationary wants to remain stationary. Any object in motion wants to remain in motion, unless it's acted on by an outside force. Now, that's inertia. You wonder why you crash into the car in front of you because you didn't start putting the brakes on soon enough? That's because of inertia. You wonder why your gas mileage goes down in the city? It's because of inertia, because you have to constantly be stopping that car, and it don't want to stop. And then you got to start it, and it don't want to go. Reminds me of some people I've known, especially my kids. Stop doing that. I don't want to stop. Start doing that. I don't want to start. Maybe it applies to kids, too. I don't know. But anyway, this law of motion has a major effect on one particular animal. And that's a giraffe. Now, a bull giraffe is about 18 feet high. And I don't know how tall this ceiling is right here, but I don't think he would fit in this ceiling looking at that door, because that's about a 7-foot door, and that's about 14 feet high back there. He'd have to be ducking to stand right here. They had one that actually got up to 20 feet high. That was the tallest one they ever measured. Of course, you know, they have measured all those running around out there in the bushes. These are the ones they had in captivity. Anyway, and this guy's got a real problem, because in order to pump that blood up to a head that's taller than that ceiling, that heart has got to be some strong pump. You know that? When you talk about high blood pressure, that rascal has got to have some serious blood pressure to get that stuff up to the top of his head. But he's got a real big problem, because when he bends over to drink, now he went from 18 feet high to zero, and sometimes below that because his head's down below his feet. He actually has to get down and spread his front legs out to get down there and drink water. Now, the problem with that is that he's got this big old monster heart, and it's pumping this stuff. And when he goes to stand up, you talk about getting lightheaded. When you're sitting down and standing up, you're only about the length of your thigh difference in height, maybe 2 feet. So when you go to stand up, you only move 2 feet. Can you imagine moving 18 feet that fast? Man, all of a sudden you'd just be out cold, and you would on some occasions. Now, God's designed some things into us and into those animals to combat that. I remember studying this in biology way back in school. I mean, it was either elementary school or middle school. And the first time I heard that, I thought, man, that's really fascinating. And what God did was inside of those arteries and veins, he put check valves. You say, check valve, what's that? That means that fluid can only flow one direction. And when it starts to try to flow the opposite way, those little valves in there shut. And they're a real thin little thing that lay along the sides of the veins and stuff in the arteries. And when the blood goes the other way, they just go. And they're all along in there. So they're not having to hold massive amounts of blood pressure. There's just small amounts of blood that each one of these little check valves holds. So when you go to stand up, the reason you don't pass out every time is because those little check valves all close. You stand up and the blood goes with you instead of the inertia making it going down in your feet. So when you get up, you might get a little bit lightheaded. And the reason for that is sometimes those little valves seal against the side of those walls to where when that blood goes the other way, it takes a moment for them to react. They're not just floating around out there ready to just close instantly. They're sealed against the side, and it takes a second or two for them to jump into place. So the longer you've been sitting motionless, the more likely you are to have that problem. But God put that in us, and he put these in the giraffes too. But that doesn't solve another major problem that that giraffe's got. You say, what's his other problem? Well, let's say this giraffe comes along and he's thirsty and he comes up to the edge of this pool or river or creek or mud hole out there and he starts drinking. Now, his head went from 18 feet in the air below his heart. Now the blood pressure more than doubled, because the blood pressure in his head when he's 18 feet high is still a certain amount of pressure. It's not just barely getting there. There's pressure in there. But by the time he puts that head down now it's like, because those valves won't stop that. So here's this massive amount of blood that should explode his brain when he puts his head down. That's the truth. It really should. So what did God do? Well, when he said, let the earth bring forth in abundance, in that statement was not only Bomby the Bombarder Beetle's ability to produce a chemical factory, but here comes this giraffe with the only thing like it, and up inside of his head, he's got a sponge that God put in there. What happens when he puts his head down, that old sponge goes and acts like a shock absorber and begins to fill up with blood, and it takes over and takes some of that pressure off. Now, while he's drinking that water, he looks around. Oh, there's the zebra. Everything's fine. Keeps drinking. Looks over there. Oh, water buffalo. He's okay. Keeps drinking. Uh-oh, lion. Now, let me ask you, how does he know a water buffalo from a zebra from a lion? You think mommy giraffe put him into animal biology school and started teaching him? How do you think he knows? Because not only did God make these creatures like he made them and made them with the ability to reproduce, with that genius, God put an instruction manual inside of every one of those critters. They went to God school and they know exactly what's out there. Nobody has to teach them. God taught them. They don't have to be taught. But anyway, when he sees this lion and he goes, whoa, I'm getting out of here. Now, instead of getting up kind of fast, he's getting up real fast because you never had to get up probably and run for your life. But he has to all the time. So he swings that head back up in the air and starts to take off. Now, you know what should happen? He should pass out cold and the lion should get a really easy lunch. That's what should happen. Well, if that happened, there wouldn't be too many giraffes around today, would there? Unless they'd be in a zoo. What happens? Well, when he goes to stand up, it's just like that hose. You take and try to put your hand over the end of that hose and then yank it fast and see what happens to that water pressure on your hand. When he goes to stand up, even with the valves in his veins and arteries, that blood will stop flowing, but that power of inertia, that heart's got to start it flowing again. And that's a major job to go from 18 feet down to 18 feet up in the air and then start making that blood move again that all stopped cold. So why didn't he pass out? Because that same sponge acts like an absorption chamber, and now it's feeding his brain while normally he'd be starving. Now that right there is some of the design that God put into his creatures out there. And it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. You know what praise means? It means to magnify or glorify. Well, if he made all of this stuff for his glory, which you've been hearing over and over and over, and the heavens declare the glory of God, and we're supposed to praise him according to his mighty acts, then we're supposed to be glorifying him to our next generation. Anyway, so we'll take a look at some more next week and just kind of take a look at some of his wondrous works for a few minutes beginning of any Sunday school lesson. Let's close in prayer.